This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled A Forbidden Boundary. And my author, who joins me from Washington State in the United States of America, Shauna Springs. Welcome to the program, Shauna.
Thanks for having me.
This is a novel, I would say an extensive read, 502 pages. That must have taken a long time to put together. How did you go about coming up with this story, and what is the forbidden boundary in your book?
Honestly, it took me a couple years to write, and the storyline is honestly something I just thought up one day.
Just came to you in a. I've had some authors that have eaten overeaten some bad food, and it caused them to go into a hypnotic state, and they came up with a storyline. This is not what happened to you, though.
No, not particularly.
And where is this story set, and what time frame?
It's set in, well, specifically Newark, New Jersey in 1902-1903.
All right. And you live in Washington State. Did you, in your other part of your life, live in New Jersey, or is this just a state in the United States that interested you?
It was just a place, honestly, that interested me. I wanted my book to take place on the East Coast.
Very good.
Where I chose.
Your cover has a, I would say, a Victorian-looking home, so this was set in the early 1900s. Describe for my listeners your main characters and how you developed them. Did you have a story outline when you began, or did just your story begin with inspiration and you started writing from there?
I would say it began with inspiration and started from there.
And as you progressed through the story, you have noted that this is sort of a romance novel. Is it easy for you to talk about the romance that's in the book? Is it between two young people, older people? What is the name of your characters, your primary characters?
Well, the main protagonist, her name is Marianne Winters, and she's 18, 19 years old in the story.
Excellent. And you do have a guy that's, I think, also chasing her, so if I may use that word.
Yes.
Pursuing her, I guess, would be a more genteel approach. He was pursuing her in the 1900s. And what was his name?
Edward Bailey.
Edward is the pursuing guy.
He's the same age.
Ah. Is there anything in here besides the romance? Is there an adventure associated with this? Is it primarily character-driven, or is it story-driven with a little adventure and maybe some other things thrown in?
Well, it does have some other things thrown in. There is a little bit of mystery to it, because later on in the story, Marianne gets engaged, and she doesn't like the guy.
Was this an arranged marriage? It sounds like it might have been.
Yes, it was.
An arranged marriage. That did happen back in the early 1900s. When you began the story, did you decide after beginning that perhaps a little research into the products that were available in that time frame and other things were necessary to round out the story?
Yes, I did have to do research on the time period. Yes.
I did notice you had mentioned the company or the product Jell-O in there, and I was curious personally and went back and checked, and yes, Jell-O was becoming a household name in the early 1900s, so that was a relief to find that out. Of course, I didn't know for sure. Did you know that as you began and used the Jell-O product in your story?
Yes, I did. I actually looked that up.
And the adventure part of your story and the mystery, is it only, I guess, encompassing the romantic side of your storyline, or are there other adventures and mysteries that are involved in the total tale?
Well, I wouldn't really say there's other, like, mysteries or adventures, but there is a point in the story where Edward is fired, and then he later on gets sick, and Marianne thinks he's dying, but in the end, there's a surprise in this story.
Don't want to tell the surprise because that would then people would go to the back of the book or go to your website and not maybe purchase the book. A Forbidden Boundary is a unique title. What is that referring to, if I may ask?
Well, I think there's several different ways to interpret it if you read the story, but mostly I meant it for the relationship type aspect.
And is there some heat in your story? That's probably the wrong term. The romance, does it get intense in the relationship?
I would say a little bit, yes.
Mm-hmm. And because of that, how would you describe the ideal reader of your novel? Is this a story that may appeal to guys, or is it more of what's called a chicklet or a chick flick, or a chick story?
I would honestly say more of a chick story.
So ladies are going to enjoy this and be swept away into the romance that you have created, you hope.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How long have you wanted to be an author and decided that now's the time to begin writing?
I've wanted to be an author for as long as I can remember.
Did you have encouragers, teachers, or other family members, perhaps, that pointed you in that direction or gave you an opportunity to share ideas and stories?
Tell you the truth, not really. I just have always had an active, vivid imagination. But my parents always did encourage me to follow my dreams. So you could say I had that behind me.
Had that encouraged you. A lot of my authors will keep journals and keep stories or ideas on paper and then use those for the storyline later, perhaps as they're developing a novel. Are you one of those individuals that has other writings that are being kept or being documented maybe in a journal?
Well, I'm kind of trying to. I've always been the type that keeps it in my head, but sometimes I'm forgetful and the ideas leave me, so I find it better if I write them down.
Sure.
That's what I've been doing.
Wonderful. How long have you been pursuing the writing aspects of your career?
Well, I'm a brand new author, so not very long.
Not very long.
I started writing A Forbidden Boundary around 2011.
So that's a fairly quick turnaround, I would say, for a 500-page novel. Were there any challenges that you had to overcome to get this to a point where you were happy with it and decided it's time to publish?
Well, I've always had a severe case of writer's block. I've always had to overcome that.
And that took a little while then. That's perhaps some of the delay that you experienced.
Oh, yes, a lot. Especially if you work full-time, yeah.
Writer's
block is always a problem.
Sure, you have other activities that keep you busy then.
Well, yes.
Okay. And the book itself, is there an underlying theme besides the romance side of it? Is there a moral or some other issue that popped to the surface once it was completed and others started to read it?
I would say no, not really.
You didn't have any particular thought in mind of trying to straighten someone out through the novel and through the characters that you accomplished or that you created?
No, I wouldn't say so.
So primarily this was written as an entertainment venue for readers?
Yes.
Wonderful. And what age range do you think would be appropriate on this book? Do you think would enjoy reading it and find it fascinating?
I would say anyone 18 and above.
Very good. Have you decided that this was a fun enough adventure that you want to continue being a writer, and do you have another project in the works?
Yes, I would like to write more books, and I'm, trying to get the second one started. Again, I have another case of writer's block.
Perhaps after
I'm working all the time.
Well, that will slow you down, but being an author is a challenge to anyone, even the most creative of writers. I only have met one writer who I think was able to knock out one book a month, or I heard of an author that actually completes a novel once a month. But I don't believe the storyline or the plot lines are very involved. I think they're pretty much straight imagination and a lot of cream and sugar thrown on top of it. So this one, with 502 pages, that's an extensive writing opportunity and endeavor. So congratulations on completing this. The name of the book, again, is A Forbidden Boundary. My author is Shauna Springs, S-H-A-U-N-A, Springs, just like it sounds. Shauna, where can my listeners get a copy of your book or learn more about it?
Well, it's available on Amazon.com and on BalboaPress.com.
Wonderful. And if they do a search under your name, if you don't have a website developed yet, which I think is the case, they will be able to get in touch with you in the future because this interview will be around for the next 40 or 50 years. So they can do a search under your name, Shauna Springs, S-H-A-U-N-A, Springs, author, and under the title of the book, A Forbidden Boundary. Thank you, Shauna, for joining me today and sharing your story.
You're welcome.
For Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press, this is J. Douglas Parker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? Right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With Baby and Toddler Instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying, to 14 ways to get a baby to eat, and so much more. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing Archway Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Peter Pumpkin Goes Trick or Treating. And joining me from British Columbia, near Vancouver, British Columbia, is author Peter Nanra. Thank you, sir, for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
Fun-looking book. The cover has some amazing, you know, enticing graphics. Did you design the cover as well?
I did. I drew the whole picture. My publisher suggested to go onto a website where I could take pictures of pumpkins and maybe use as my book, but I couldn't find a pumpkin that represented Peter Pumpkin.
Ah.
And so what I did is I took, I just started drawing pumpkins out. I think I must have drew about 100 to 200 pictures of pumpkins, and I wanted to draw Peter perfectly round and perfectly symmetrical, although I don't think that he came out that way, but pretty close. And I'm very happy with the picture. He's just standing on grass, and it's a dark night, and there's a picture of a witch flying over the moon.
Ah, this is reminiscent, perhaps, of the Halloween season. Is that maybe the background of what the story might entail?
Sure it is. I mean, there are witches and ghosts and ghouls in the book, and there are pumpkins in the book, and they live in a pumpkin patch. And Peter and his friends, he's 4 years old now, and they're leaving the pumpkin patch, and they're going to go trick-or-treating. And I wanted to have Peter on the front cover.
Beautifully done. You have 152 pages, which most people, when they think of children's books, they think of, oh, well, maybe 20, 30 pages. When I first saw the cover, I figured, well, this probably is one of those books. But no, it has an extensive storyline. How long did it take you to get the characters together and put them into print?
I actually, it's been about 3 years ago where I started writing stories about pumpkins and things that they could do. And I must have wrote about 20, 25 individual stories. And what I decided to do finally last summer is take all of the stories, specifically related to trick-or-treating.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote them out. And I just, just came out quite length, because I had quite a few of those stories to write, and it came out to 150 pages. I still have lots of those stories that I'm hoping to put in future books as well.
And your main character is Peter Pumpkin. This character, is it a character that is, I know it's from your imagination, but you adapted it from the multiple stories that you had? Is that how the book or the storyline came together?
The storyline came together where I work. And it was actually, our company actually has a really good relationship with the United Way.
Hmm.
And the United Way, somebody from the United Way came to our office and started talking about bullying and the things that we could do to prevent bullying. Well, you know something, Jay, at about the same time, I think about two or three people came up to me jokingly and said something like, Peter, Pumpkin Eater, had a wife, couldn't keep her.
Uh-huh.
And I thought to myself, well, you know what, I'm mature enough, you know, you say that joke to me and it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. And I thought to myself, you know, well, if you said that joke to a younger Peter, you know, maybe you're a Peter who wasn't really feeling so great about himself. And then I thought talking to myself, well, it's a form of bullying kind of. And mm-hmm. then I thought to myself, what if you told that story or told that joke to the character Peter Pumpkin itself? Peter Pumpkin Eater. Well, this Peter J does not eat pumpkin. And isn't that cannibalism? Isn't that...
it
know,
would be.
Humans don't eat right. humans, so pumpkins don't eat pumpkin. And I thought That's to right. myself, why would anyone say Peter Pumpkin Eater to Peter Pumpkin? And this is where the whole idea of the book came about, of developing the idea of Peter Pumpkin, who a character who... traditionally has been bullied upon going back, you know, when that Peter Pumpkin joke first came about. I think it was like in the 1880s in the Mother Goose rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the idea came from. And then I started writing stories about things that Peter could do and other pumpkins could do. And I eventually ended up just writing, well, what's the first thing that Peter Pumpkin would do? Well, one of the first things that children do when they experience the world is they go trick-or-treating. And I thought, well, why don't I write Peter Pumpkin going out trick-or-treating?
That was a good adaptation. I wondered why you used that particular aspect or that particular time of year to focus on. Of course, pumpkins are very prevalent during that time period. The story itself, are there other characters besides Peter Pumpkin in your tale?
Yes, I didn't want to develop, I'm still going to develop the ideas of witches and ghosts and people and bring them in, but basically it's about pumpkins and what they do on their pumpkin patch. On this book, there are about 800 pumpkins who live in the pumpkin patch. I wanted to have a character was able to narrate the story, someone who was close to Peter. I didn't want Peter himself to narrate the book. I wanted a character to be there with Peter, to be an account, to account his whereabouts and what he did during, this Halloween season.
Hmm.
There are lots of other principal characters. There are about five or six principal characters that I'm hoping to develop in future books.
Do you think your book is entertaining as it's written? I mean, is there a lot of fun activities that take place during the adventures of Peter Pumpkin?
There are. There are things that pumpkins do that you might think that maybe they don't. But, you know, for instance, pumpkins don't eat pumpkins. So if they walk by a coffee shop
right.
and they smell a pumpkin pie, you know, they're going to naturally, feel sour to the taste and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. So well,
in Texas, they make them out of sweet potatoes, so it kind of looks like a pumpkin pie, but it's a sweet potato pie.
Oh, is that right? I wanted it to make it funny and interesting and creative enough and to catch the reader's imagination. I didn't want it to be, something creative, something imaginative, something that will entice the reader to not only read about this book, but the future Peter Pumpkin books as well.
You have addressed an important subject in this story, this tale. Bullying has become a big concern for educators and for families across the nation. Is that the main focus of your story?
Yes, it is. This one is. This one is about bullying. It's about, I wanted to create a character that was bullied, although in this book, he's not really bullied. The narrator herself takes a bullying approach to Peter, but I wanted to write about somebody who has been bullied, who, through name only, because it's a fictional character, but somebody who's able to, not feel negative about themselves because they've been bullied. You know, use that as a challenge. Do something special. You know, show people that, I'm not a loner. I'm not, I don't need to be bullied, that I can do something. I'm special and I can go out in the world and prove something to people. And I wanted to use this character, Peter Pumpkin, who comes out of all the, all the negativity that surrounds bullying, and for him to do something special.
As an author, have you always had a desire to write children's books, or were there other ideas that you hope to develop?
I've always wanted to write a full-length story, even going back to my teenage years, but, call it procrastination. You start doing other things in your life, and when I got this idea about 3 years ago, I just didn't want to let it go. I wanted to pursue it and, feel a sense of accomplishment. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoyed the process. Anyone who's out there who's written a book, the attention to detail, to grammar, to word use, to punctuation, to being able to, say things coherently so the reader is able to understand, where the story is going and be able to, picture the story as it's unfolding. And that's it's a very extremely difficult thing to do, because this is, the only book, the only story that I have actually taken and putting on paper. And so,
sure. I understand from reading some of your bio and other information that you perhaps are going to share this with a European audience as well. Is that something that's in the future?
Yes, there is. There is, in October, middle of October, there is a book fair in Frankfurt, Germany, and I am attending that book fair. And so the book will be on display. I'm hoping to talk to other authors and see how they, write, see, what processes they go through. It'll be, just an incredible experience. I've never been, I'm from England. I was born in England. I've been back to England a few times, but I've never been, to mainland Europe. And this will certainly be exciting to me.
Do you think that your book will appeal to a broad audience? Since your book is not a picture book like many children's books, it's really one that should be read. What age category do you think is going to find this appealing? Would that be an older audience or older child?
Sure. I mean, anyone who's been trick-or-treating will enjoy the book, Jay.
Great.
If you've been out in the world and you knocked on a door, And you've been trick-or-treating and you've come home and you think about all the memories that you had with your friends going trick-or-treating in the past. It's written easily enough. So that's why I say it's a children's book, because there are not a lot of complicated words. There are not a lot of complicated ideas. It's very simple. And so I say, okay, well, a child should be able to, anyone from maybe 5 or 6 years old should be able to go through it and understand it. But really, a lot of the concepts are, apply to adults, being friend and being friendly to your neighbor, being loyal to your neighbor, working and doing things being involved in the community and doing things benefiting for the community. And all of the future books are going to be like that. The second book I've tentatively titled called Peter Pumpkin Goes to School.
Ah.
And so, which I'm hoping I'm going to be finished, you know, probably maybe this time next year.
Wonderful.
And each of these books that I'm going to write are going to be actually narrated by a different character. They're all going to grow older together. And their themes are, yes, they're children-based themes, but they're also themes that adults can relate to. I certainly, you know, have related to some of the themes as I've written the book. And you think about your life and your friends and the things that you've accomplished and in your life. And I think adults will, you know, if they read it, I think they'll find it interesting.
Peter Pumpkin is going to have a life after Peter Pumpkin goes trick-or-treating then.
Yes, he will.
Wonderful. Well, I hope that we get to visit in the future when you complete your next novel. This particular book, it's 152 pages or so, is something that grandparents can get for their children or their grandchildren and may enjoy reading themselves, and it may take them on a nostalgic journey. Where can my listeners get a copy of your book?
They could go directly to... Well, it's available in Barnes & Noble online. It's available as well on Chapters. You could get it on Amazon. You could probably get good deals from eBay. But my publisher, it's Archway Publishing. I myself also have a website, peternano.com, which I'm hoping to as well put in, you know, write short stories and post in it. I don't have a Facebook account or Twitter account at the moment. I'm hoping to do that in the near future.
Excellent. Listeners, you can pursue Peter in a friendly manner by searching his name, Peter, P-E-T-E-R, last name Nanra, N-A-N-R-A. That will bring up this book and anything else he produces in the future. This book, again, is titled Peter Pumpkin Goes Trick or Treating. If your bookseller does not have it in stock, they can order it. So look forward to visiting with you in the future, Peter. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, and have a great day, Jay.
My pleasure. For Indie Book Publishing Archway Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Do you ever wonder if you're the only woman who runs errands in her yoga pants so it will look like she went to the gym? Or how about the only mom who feeds her kids raw cookie dough? Or are you the only one who cooks her family cold cereal for dinner? Do you need more laughter and less loudness? More self-love and less self-loathing? More joy and less judgment? You're not alone. Come to the living room, a place where we get comfy, candid, and confident together. Come seeking sanctuary and leave feeling renewed. We're saving a seat for you. Give yourself some living room today.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled A Forbidden Boundary, and my author who joins me from Washington State in the United States of America, Shauna Springs. Welcome to the program, Shauna.
Thanks for having me.
This is a novel, I would say an extensive read, 502 pages. That must have taken a long time to put together. How did you go about coming up with this story, and what is the forbidden boundary in your book?
Honestly, it took me a couple years to write, and the storyline is honestly something I just thought up one day.
Just came to you, and I've had some authors that have eaten I have overeaten some bad food, and it caused them to go into a hypnotic state, and they came up with a storyline. This is not what happened to you, though.
No, not particularly.
Not particularly. No. And where is this story set, and what time frame?
It's set in Well, specifically Newark, New Jersey in 1902, 1903.
All right. And you live in Washington State. Did you, in your other part of your life, live in New Jersey, or is this just a state in the United States that interested you?
It was just a place, honestly, that interested me. I wanted my book to take place on the East Coast.
Very good.
That's where I chose.
Your cover has a Victorian-looking home. So this was set in the early 1900s. Describe for my listeners your main characters and how you developed them. Did you have a story outline when you began, or did just your story begin with inspiration and you started writing from there?
I would say it began with inspiration and started from there.
And as you progressed through the story, you have noted that this is sort of a romance novel. Is it easy for you to talk about the romance that's in the book? Is it between two young people, older people? What is the name of your characters, your primary characters?
Well, the main protagonist, her name is Marianne Winters, and she's 18, 19 years old in the story.
Excellent. And you do have a guy that's, I think, also chasing her, so if I may use that word.
Yes.
Pursuing her, I guess, would be a more genteel approach. He was pursuing her in the 1900s. And what was his name?
Edward Bailey.
Edward is the pursuing guy.
He's the same age.
Ah. Is the story, is there anything in here besides the romance? Is there an adventure associated with this? Is it primarily character-driven, or is it story-driven with a little adventure and maybe some other things thrown in?
Well, it does have some other things thrown in. There is a little bit of mystery to it, because later on in the story, Marianne gets engaged, and she doesn't like the guy.
Hmm. Was this an arranged marriage? It sounds like it might have been.
Yes, it was.
An arranged marriage. That did happen back in the early 1900s. When you began the story, did you decide after beginning that perhaps a little research into the products that were available in that time frame and other things were necessary to round out the story?
Yes, I did have to do research on the time period. Yes.
I did notice you had mentioned the company or the product Jell-O in there, and I was curious personally and went back and checked, and yes, Jell-O was becoming a household name in the early 1900s, so that was a relief to find that out. Of course, I didn't know for sure. Did you know that as you began and used the Jell-O product in your story?
Yes, I did. I actually looked that up.
And the adventure part of your story and the mystery, is it only, I guess, encompassing the romantic side of your storyline, or are there other adventures and mysteries that are involved in the total tale?
Well, I wouldn't really say there's other, like, mysteries or adventures, but there is a point in the story where Edward is fired, and then he later on gets sick, and Marianne thinks she's dying, but in the end, there's a surprise in this story.
Don't want to tell the surprise, because that would then people would go to the back of the book or go to your website and not maybe purchase the book. A Forbidden Boundary is a unique title. What is that referring to, if I may ask?
Well, I think there's several different ways to interpret it if you read the story, but mostly I meant it for the relationship type aspect.
And is there some heat in your story? That's probably the wrong term. The romance, does it get intense in the relationship?
I would say a little bit, yes.
Mm-hmm. And because of that, how would you describe the ideal reader of your novel? Is this a story that may appeal to guys, or is it more of what's called a chicklet or a chick flick or a chick story?
I would honestly say more of a chick story.
So ladies are going to enjoy this and be swept away into the romance that you have created, you hope.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How long have you wanted to be an author and decided that now's the time to begin writing?
I've wanted to be an author for as long as I can remember.
Did you have encouragers, teachers, or other family members, perhaps, that pointed you in that direction or gave you an opportunity to share ideas and stories?
Tell you the truth, not really. I just have always had an active, vivid imagination. But my parents always did encourage me to follow my dreams, so you could say I had that behind me.
Had that encouraged you. A lot of my authors will keep journals and keep stories or ideas on paper and then use those for the storyline later, perhaps as they're developing a novel. Are you one of those individuals that has other writings that are being kept or being documented maybe in a journal?
Well, I'm kind of trying to. I've always been the type that keeps it in my head, but sometimes I'm forgetful and the ideas leave me, so I find it better if I write them down.
Sure.
That's what I've been doing.
Wonderful. How long have you been pursuing the writing aspects of your career?
Well, I'm a brand new author, so not very long.
Not very long.
I started writing a Forbidden Boundary around 2011.
So that's a fairly quick turnaround, I would say, for a 500-page novel. Were there any challenges that you had to overcome to get this to a point where you were happy with it and decided it's time to publish?
Well, I've always had a severe case of writer's block. I've always had to overcome that.
And that took a little while then. That's perhaps some of the delay that you experienced.
Oh, yes, a lot. Especially if you work full-time, yeah.
Writer's
block is always a problem.
Sure, you have other activities that keep you busy then.
Well, yes.
Okay. And the book itself, is there an underlying theme besides the romance side of it? Is there a moral or some other issue that popped to the surface once it was completed and others started to read it?
I would say no, not really.
You didn't have any particular thought in mind of trying to straighten someone out through the novel and through the characters that you accomplished or that you created?
No, I wouldn't say so.
So primarily this was written as an entertainment venue for readers?
Yes.
Wonderful. And what age range do you think would be appropriate on this book? Do you think would enjoy reading it and find it fascinating?
I would say anyone 18 and above.
Very good. Have you decided that this was a fun enough adventure that you want to continue being a writer, and do you have another project in the works?
Yes, I would like to write more books, and I'm, trying to get the second one started. Again, I have another case of writer's block.
Perhaps after...
I'm working all the time.
Well, that will slow you down, but being an author is a challenge to anyone, even the most creative of writers. I only have met one writer who I think was able to knock out one book a month, or I heard of an author that actually completes a novel once a month. But I don't believe the storyline or the plot lines are very involved. I think they're pretty much straight imagination and a lot of cream and sugar thrown on top of it. So this one, with 502 pages, that's an extensive writing opportunity and endeavor. So congratulations on completing this. The name of the book, again, is A Forbidden Boundary. My author is Shauna Springs, S-H-A-U-N-A, Springs, just like it sounds. Shauna, where can my listeners get a copy of your book or learn more about it?
Well, it's available on Amazon.com and on BalboaPress.com.
Wonderful. And if they do a search under your name, if you don't have a website developed yet, which I think is the case, they will be able to get in touch with you in the future because this interview will be around for the next 40 or 50 years. So they can do a search under your name, Shauna Springs, S-H-A-U-N-A, Springs, author, and under the title of the book, A Forbidden Boundary. Thank you, Shauna, for joining me today and sharing your story.
You're welcome.
For Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.